St. Paul's Cathedral was full. 36 bishops, abbots, priors and doctors, all in damask and satin, watched the occasion, watched as the merchants and the prior carried faggots, the bundles of sticks which were used for fires, and knelt to hear a sermon against them. At the close of the sermon, Barnes was made to stand, and to declare that he had been handled with more charity than he deserved, since his heresies were so horrible and so detestable. The cardinal left on a mule beneath a canopy. The condemned men carried their faggots around the fire three times before throwing them into the flames, and Prior Barnes went back to jail. Lord Cardinal Wolsey had made an example of Robert Barnes, such as would surely frighten others from preaching so boldly. And yet he had not dealt with Latimer or Bilney. The evidence is slender as to how and to when, but it appears that Thomas Bilney was called before Cardinal Wolsey and made to take an oath to the effect that he would stop preaching heretical doctrine. The oath was mentioned by Wolsey in a later hearing, and Sir Thomas More, no friend to Thomas Bilney, wrote in later years, "This man had also been before that accusant the greatest prelate in this realm, who for his tender favour borne to the university did not proceed far in the matter against him. But accepting his denial with a corporal oath that he should from that time forth be no setter forth of heresies, but in his preachings and readings impugn them, dismissed him very benignly, and of his liberal bounty gave him also money for his costs." We know only that Bilney did not keep any such oath. In spring of 1527, Thomas Bilney and his friend Thomas Arthur preached around the eastern counties of England. Bilney states that the supreme object of his preaching was Christ, "whom with my whole power I do teach and set forth, being made for us by God his Father our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption." In order to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was necessary to remove some of the crutches and superstitions to which the people clung. For instance, in Ipswich, it was widely believed that if the cowl of St. Francis was wrapped around a dead body, it had the power to take away sins. Bilney rejected this, asserting that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. But one of the monks of the Franciscan convent argued, "St. Paul did rightly affirm that there is but one mediator of God and man, because as yet there was no saint canonized or put into the calendar. Let us ask of the Father in the name of the Son, and he will give unto us. You are always speaking of the Father and never of the saints. You are like a man who has been looking so long upon the sun that he can see nothing else. If I did not know that the saints would take everlasting vengeance upon you, I would surely with these nails of mine be your death." The monks dragged Bilney down from his pulpit twice on this occasion, for where foolish superstitions lived, the priests were there to enforce them. Thomas Bilney had once looked himself to these same priests for help, and even while he would have given his last coin for masses and indulgences, he had wondered, "May not the priests be seeking their own interest and not the salvation of my soul?" He could not now leave others in that same darkness, even though it required him to combat the grip of the priests and the Pope. "These 500 years there hath been no good Pope, and in all the times past we can find but 50. For they have neither preached, nor lived well, nor conformably to their dignity. Wherefore till now they have borne the keys of simony against them, good people." Thomas Bilney was arrested for saying this, and Thomas Arthur was soon apprehended as well. They were placed in the coal house of the Bishop of London until they could be moved to the Tower to face Lord Cardinal Wolsey.